the silent green fields of Carlow, Ireland, more than 20 international wood artists. They gathered and they worked together to create a truly unique wooden sculpture. The formation of an Irish stone wall, 18 feet in length. The work was created for the Visual Center for Contemporary Art in Carlow for the Arts Festival. The project was documented by the International Wood Culture Society. The project itself was entitled Improvisations on the Theme of an Irish Wall. Lehigh Valley artist, internationally known woodturner, and Moravian Academy teacher, Michael Broley, was one of them. He is also the collaborator, creator, and artist, along with teachers and students, of the Musical Ark, a seaworthy vessel rigged with 8 long piano wires stretching from the masthead to the stern to create music for the whales. Whale speak, if you prefer. Michael Broley joins us. Then, after the break, we are witness to a fictional character created by Carlo Collodi. The woodcarver, Geppetto, crafted the small Italian puppet boy of wood, prone to his telling tales and fabricating stories. The puppet comes to life on stage with Allentown Public Theater's production of Pinocchio. And with us is Lana Brooker as Pinocchio and Marcy Schlenner as the director. Really, there are no strings attached. I remain George Miller, and along with my wife and co-host Kate Scuffle, we welcome you to your continued participation as a listener and supporter of the arts and of WDIY 88.1 Allentown and Lehigh Valley Art Salon. Here we are. Welcome, Michael.
Thank you.
It's wonderful to have you with us. We were saying earlier, just chatting before the show, not only do you have a lot of family and connections to Ireland, I know you've had your work shown there before, but how did Improvisations on the Theme of an Irish Wall come together? I mean, this is a group effort, not just a group show.
Actually, it was the brainchild of Terry Martin and Cornelia McCarthy. There's a little film they put out about it, which is really nice, but he was speaking with Cornelia, and as the economic drop that we all have been aware of lately, it hit Ireland severely, more severe than other places, so they were looking for a way to shine a light on a lot of the Irish woodworkers because there's some really fabulous woodworkers there. The tradition goes back, you know, to the Druids.
Yeah.
So they want to try to illuminate a light on that. And as they talk, they come up with this idea, you know, why don't we do something that's really, really Irish? And Ireland is, for me anyway, defined by the walls. Mm-hmm. Like, I was there when I was 13, and I was amazed. Well, actually, I helped build walls when I was 13.
Did you really?
Yeah, my parents were there from farming stock.
Okay.
And I was there for 6 weeks. So when you're 13 years old, they want to do something with you. So, but I was into it. I loved it. But you actually go out, you wear a burlap bag tied around your waist, and you fill it with rocks, and you walk over the edge, and you dump them, and you do that all day. And then in your free time, you build a wall. So it's amazing. That's what they do with all those rocks. So then they came up with this idea that they should build a replica of a wall. Mm-hmm. And then a lot of it was amorphous till we got there. And actually, everybody met, and they took us out, and we went on a tour of walls. We went on a tour of some of the cultural stuff about walls and what they symbolize and all that. And then we came back and brainstormed and figured out a way to make this thing beautiful.
Interesting, because it had to be, I mean, for 20, I know, you know, we work in the theater, it always amazes me 20 theater artists can make one play that we get along that well and can do it. 20, there were 10 Irish woodcarvers, 10 international than Irish. You had Terry Martin, of course, curating and pulling it together, and some other artists dropping in. It's a lot of artistic voices and vision. What was that journey like for the week? It was only a week.
Well, I think it was the perfect time because nobody got on it. Anybody's nerves, like there was sometimes there's friction, but a lot of times when you're working really hard and you're working till 1-2 o'clock in the morning, and then, you know, the light gets really light early there, so you're back at it again at 6 or whatever. After a week, it can wear down and the edges start to fray and all that, but everybody was so into it, and they're all so professional. I mean, some of these people, if you could run a list of names for people to look up, they're just phenomenal. I mean, just a phenomenal artist. It was amazing. But it worked out really well. I mean, I think the week worked well. We had good weather. We had a goal, and we had a lot of committed people.
And it seems to me, it's interesting, I don't know if our listeners, we were talking too about the variety within Irish walls. Now, I would visit Connemara a lot, which would be a different kind of dry stone, flat stone construction. Mm-hmm. You were telling me about the walls in Carlow, which sound very different. Mm-hmm. So you actually kind of went out and looked at what kind of options there were to play with and bring into this interpretation.
Right, and then it was in the works for a year. So during that year, we would email each other images we found, curious things. We'd email each other ideas and things like that, like where we think we might want to do. And then at the same time, you're trying to keep it fresh, so you don't want to get into a concrete idea, because then you got 19 other people that are going to put their in. And hopefully, it's something like this, you stay open so that you're amorphous, so that their energy flows in and out of you and formulates the way you look at it every day as you're working.
Mm-hmm. I was intrigued, too, by, I know this might seem like not the, I don't know, I just was fascinated by it, that you actually replicated in wood as well things that would be part of what these walls are, that when these walls are built, people drop keys in them, like they lose a coin. There was an exhaust pipe recreated.
There's a guy, Jacques Vessery. He's a really phenomenal Trompe l'Oreal artist, and he could bring up a lot of those textures.
Okay.
So it was really cool to watch somebody, like a really good carver, make something out of wood, and then watch Jack teach them how to turn that into look like metal.
Oh, okay.
And it all happened in a week.
That's amazing. And I look at the finished pictures of the wall, and it goes from, it looks to me, did you decide whether to, do you want the rocks to look like wood? Do you want them to look like rock?
Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, that was a big debate, because you have a bunch of woodworkers. Mm-hmm. So we're making this thing, and it's all going to be stone. We're going to make the whole thing look like stone. And as they're working on it, and, there was some beautiful wood, so we're all like, oh. So then they agreed, all right, we'll start with this stone. It'll go into wood, and I'll end with that stone pillar at the end. Now, the only thing that's not wood on that whole wall are the two nails that hold that hinge that looks like a rusted hinge at the end.
Oh.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
There's actually two nails in it. Everything else is wood.
Oh, my God. And that was amazed, because in the film it showed actually looking between the stones as they are created in the wall to see a spider web made of wood.
Yeah.
Absolutely fantastic.
And the lichen?
All the lichen? Yes, absolutely.
And that's wood?
Wood.
Oh, my God, that's amazing.
Now, you did something very special with your additive to that stone wall in addition to the stones. Can you explain just a little bit about the hologram?
The effect.
Okay. I got a 3D hologram. It was made by, the name will come to me, they're down in Texas, Zebra Imaging. I picked five images and took them with me because I wanted other people to have input. So anyway, when you shine a light on this image, it pops out and it becomes three-dimensional.
Mm-hmm.
So I hid that in the wall and I hid a sensor. I had a local guy here, Dave Anderson. I taught his daughter, and he built the sensor for me. And when you walk by the sensor, the light comes on real slow, so all of a sudden this image appears, and then it stays on for 60 seconds, and then it disappears real slow. And it was really magical. But the tie-in for me, when I was 13, because I was with my parents, I got to stay up late, and it was before electricity in Ireland, and I heard some fabulous ghost stories. So to me, it was like, it was very, very meaningful. A lot of people really, really liked it. The kids loved it. They would trip the sensor. Dad, you got to come here. It was really great.
At the present time, we have to go to Carlow to see the actual wall, but maybe someday it'll come to the States.
That'd be wonderful. They're looking for venues to bring it around, because we made it in 4-foot sections.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
so the whole thing can come apart and be shipped.
If folks are interested in Googling, I don't think I have a real address in front of me, but it is the Visual Center for Contemporary Art, right?
The Visual.
Yeah, in Carlow.
Right, in Carlow. Yep.
Mm-hmm. And if you look on Facebook and different, do you have some addresses off the top of your head? Because the videos are wonderful. Some of the imagery is gorgeous.
Actually, I could give them the contact. I think the International Wood
Society.
Yeah, now they sent those two guys. They were Taiwanese filmmakers. They came over and made the film. If you went Google them, it's probably on their site. But they could also, I don't know if I can say this, they could email me and I could send them the link.
It's just really lovely, because I think, an Irish stone wall is, in a sense, an incredibly utilitarian.
Mm-hmm.
Everywhere. They are everywhere. Mm-hmm. And I think it takes almost myself as an American on a first visit, always being stunned by how many and how kind of beautiful and matter of fact people were about them. Mm-hmm. Was it kind of magical to give it back its magic?
For me, yeah.
Yeah.
I can't speak for all of them, but I think, though, too, there was also a lot of the Irish guys, there was a pride, you know, in the whole, like, we're celebrating our culture on the national stage, you know. So it was real nice that way. And they were working outside their media, like, I don't know anybody that makes a living out of making stone walls out of wood.
No. Incidentally, what kind of wood was it? Do you recall? Was it bogwood, some of it?
There was a little bit of that. There was an awful lot of sycamore. They made like 5-inch thick sycamore that we cut up. In the film, you'll see guys working, grinding, all that. So what we realized we had to do is we had to make individual rocks and then figure out a way to hook all those rocks together
right.
And then make the whole wall in 4-foot sections so it could all move.
Mm. I'm curious on opening night, because you can see it was tied into the Carlo Arts Festival, and they commissioned this. They're doing something different. The traditional material or folkloric themes, you would be working in wood. Next year, they're going to do textile, I know. So again, that Irish focus, the home focus. What was it like when a couple hundred people who had not worked on this for a week, who are Irish, came in and saw what you had done?
Well, I think from what my take on it was, most of them were shocked.
Really?
Because they come in and all, you know, you're kind of like, and then they looked at it and it was like, it's really magical. And then that whole wall of windows, I don't know if you know, so it was a whole wall of windows.
Yeah.
So when you're outside, you're looking across a small pond through glass under this thing. And it was, it's the correct size, it's the correct height.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really realistic, but then it's all wood.
Mm-hmm.
So it was really, it was magical to me.
It's with your permission, may we only have about 3 minutes left here in the segment, but I wonder if we could talk about Saphira just for a moment. That the skiff that the Moravian Academy students and staff built with you.
It was come about because there was a build and row competition. I started the boat building activity at Moravia. Now that it's an activity, it's not a class, so it's only twice a week after school, 20 minutes each time. So I started building smaller boats because I wanted to work up to building the boat, because when I got my MFA in 2007, that's when I graduated. When I left there, I wanted to build a boat that I could talk to whales with, or try to talk to whales with.
Right.
So I built my way. It took a while, but here we are, and it sounds fabulous.
It does.
It looks great. The kids love it. It's magical also.
And there's a video, too, that people can see by just punching in the boat.
And it appears some of the students have been involved. Am I right in guessing? It looks like the students have worked on music, working with the boat. And it looked like one of the videos was of a concert on a stage. It was beautifully staged. Was that at Moravian?
Yep, that was at Moravian stage. I brought in the pizza. I brought in the dry ice. I brought in most of the costumes, not the unicorn head. And I told them, tell me a story. And they did that whole thing in 3 hours.
Wow.
They
That's
lit
amazing.
It. They came up with the music. They played it. They filmed it. It took a while to edit it. But
okay.
So that was all students.
Beautiful. Yeah. Beautiful work. And we'll be hearing more about that. The boat was just in Scotland. It's on its way home.
It is. It's on its way home now.
All right.
Oh, great. Which leads me to another question is, what's next? We've seen insects. Michael Broley's beautiful wood insects. And we've heard now of whale boats and Irish stone walls. What's your project that you're working on that is an exclusive here on Lehigh Valley Art Salon?
I invented a way of working in wood, which I call medieval hologram, and I'm just scratching the surface with that. When you walk past it, the image appears and disappears, and it's all wood.
Oh, okay.
So I'm really fascinated with that.
Right.
So that's what I'm
wonderful.
Working on.
Wonderful. That's wonderful. Well, we wish you luck with many of your projects. We follow you intently, and we can see you all the time on the website. So we entice people to Google Michael Broley or the improvisations on the theme of an Irish wall, or indeed on the Saphira, the boat.
Thank you.
Good.
Oh, thank you.
We have to have you back.
Oh, well, thank you. This is wonderful. I appreciate it.
Thank you. This is George Miller and Kate Scuffle for Lehigh Valley Art Salon. We'll be back in just a moment.
You're listening to WDIY, Community Public Radio for the Lehigh Valley. If you appreciate and value the programming we provide, including NPR's in-depth news coverage, our local public affairs programs, and the diverse mix of music we broadcast each day, please consider becoming a member. Membership is our most important source of revenue. We can't do it without you. You can make a secure donation online at wdiy.org. Thanks for listening, and thanks for your support.
Yes, I know you're right there with us. This is Lehigh Valley Art Salon, WDIY 88.1 in Allentown. This is George Miller, and along with my wife and co-host Kate Scuffle, we now welcome two very special people who are in the Allentown Public Theater production of Pinocchio. May I present to you Lana Brooker, who is playing the role of Pinocchio. Hi, Lana.
Hi.
And Marcy Schlenner, the director.
Hello.
Hi, guys. Good to be with you. Quick question starting with you, but just Marcy, what drew you to, it says a modern adaptation of a classic piece. Of course, you all know the story of Pinocchio, but this particular script, what drew you to it for an APT youth program like this?
Many things. For instance, I found a connection between Allentown Public Theater. We're trying to find a home and, you know, build a place for ourselves. And I found that with Pinocchio to this story, it has, you know, a silly sort of way about saying things, but it has the same kind of message. Mm-hmm. Where, you know, he's trying to find a home. He's trying to, you know, build a life for himself. And, you know, we're all just on this wild journey. I found really wonderful messages about, you know, respecting your elders and you know, just building a community and, you know, not listening mm-hmm. to all the mumbo jumbo that people, you know, put out there, all the negativity mm-hmm. And all the things that get in the way of creating a good life for yourself. So. Mm-hmm.
And, of course, Lana is playing the role of Pinocchio. Wow. Hey, you cast a girl.
I did. Yes, I did. And she's wonderful.
Thank you.
Lana, your impressions of Pinocchio himself, herself, itself?
What's it been like to play Pinocchio?
What's it like to play Pinocchio? It's a lot of fun. Uh-huh. It's a lot of fun. I love children's theater. I'm a very physical actor. Mm-hmm. And I find that Pinocchio is all about physicality mm. and fun, and it's very big and out there. It's just a lot of fun, and there new stuff happens every time, every night at yes. rehearsal, which is always a lot of fun. And I also really love the piece itself, and like Marcy said, I feel like it has a really strong message mm-hmm. and it actually has a really strong storyline mm-hmm. so it's a lot of fun to play with and find new moments while being goofy and out there right. and yeah. running around mm-hmm. and getting a good sweat at the end of the night.
Yeah. She's telling the truth, folks, because her nose is not growing longer as we speak.
And you're a graduate of the Performing Arts High School, aren't you?
I am.
Yeah. And so is this something, I mean, it's interesting. Have you done a lot of children's theater before? Would this be fairly new for you to do a youth piece, a young person's piece?
I have. Uh-huh. I grew up with the Pennsylvania Youth Theater.
Okay.
So I did a lot of youth theater productions, usually musicals with them. Mm-hmm. But at LVPA, every year there's senior seminar where the senior class, it becomes a company. With a director, a stage manager, costume designer, everything. The class is the company. Mm-hmm. And we have, and also writes the piece. So we have all different elementary schools from the area come and see the production. And my senior class did The Lorax, and I played The Lorax. And it was so much fun.
Now, you're doing this as, Marcy, we were talking a little bit earlier, as part of also an overall effort to grow the Allentown Public Theater Youth mm-hmm. Program. I mean, that's something that you're working on. You're in charge of that. That's your baby.
Yeah.
What's kind of your vision for that? What would you like to see happen?
I definitely want to see our more youth programming. It's free youth programming, okay, especially. Okay. I don't think any child should be left without an opportunity to explore their creative side. And I definitely want to see just local kids, neighborhood kids come down, have a place to go, not be, you know, kicking around a can in the street and, up to trouble, have a safe place to have fun and see good productions, mm-hmm.
And we should reiterate for the audience, it's lovely that this is, the show is free for children under 12.
Correct, yeah.
You mentioned that for adults, certainly, donations appreciated, but you have sponsors. Who is it? It's Allentown Neighborhood Development Alliance, mm-hmm. National Pen, PPL. All these folks came together to help make it possible for children to be able to see this performance. Mm-hmm.
And you have a grant from ANDA.
Okay.
And 7th Street has really helped us out a great mm-hmm. deal. St. Luke's Church, where we're performing, mm-hmm. They have been super supportive all along throughout this process. Okay. And giving us a space to perform, I mean, that's a number one.
It's huge.
That's the number one thing. Yeah.
And you're getting to rehearse there, too, which is wonderful. Yes. That can be the harder thing.
Yeah, definitely.
Another interesting fact about this production is that it is a modern adaptation, but you're using, from what I understand, recycled materials for the sets and the costumes of Pinocchio.
Yep, everything's recycled. Costumes are either, a fabric that we've used for other productions, other craft projects, or from the thrift store. Mm-hmm. We have recycled cardboard. We have all sorts of things, bottles, pots, pans, all of our set pieces, everything, all the wood, all recycled, all green.
That's great.
Great. And so, go ahead.
No, go ahead. We're jumping over each other.
Yes,
no,
we are.
I was just going to say quickly to Lana, too. We were talking earlier about, now, have you've worked with one of the other cast members before. There's actually five folks in the show. So most people are playing multiple parts. Mm-hmm. Is that true?
Yep.
Yeah, so that's got to be a little bit of quick change there as well.
Oh,
that's part of the energy.
It's a lot of fun.
It is a lot of fun.
Yes. And there's an interactive, you're talking about interactive dance with the kids in the audience?
Mm-hmm. I taught a theater workshop the past couple of weeks. Okay. And, so I taught some of the dance and Pinocchio. Lana, she's going to be dancing up on stage and the kids are invited up to have a good time and,
Oh, that's
dance
great.
Around.
What are the dates again? How long does this run?
Oh, yeah,
this
I believe August 16th through the 25th.
Okay.
But there are variable times, are there not?
Yes. Friday mm-hmm. evenings are 6 p.m.
Okay.
And then Saturdays and Sundays are at 2 p.m.
And if we want to track this down later on the website, Allentown Public Theater, just Google Allentown Public Theater, find mm-hmm. the webpage.
Yep. AllentownPublicTheater.com.
Yeah. Okay, very good.
I certainly won't ask Lana how old she is at this point, but she started theater when she was aged 4.
Yes.
And was in her first production, I think, age 7?
Yes.
And what was that? Yeah.
I was in Peter Pan.
And you were?
I was the one of the little dancing fairies. Oh. So it was fun.
When we do Peter Pan again, you're going to be Peter Pan.
Yeah. Dreams come true. Magic happens.
Yes. What a great production. And we certainly admire Allentown Public Theater for all the work that they're doing in the Lehigh Valley, and they're dedicated to that professionalism that we all strive for.
Thank you.
And I'm so glad to hear that that you're heading up, Marcy, the youth programming.
Thank you very much.
And we hope, Lana, that you, of course, will be doing more.
Stray far.
You are a graduate, I think, of the Lehigh Valley Performing. Oh, you did say that. Yes, you did.
Yeah,
I wasn't listening at the moment.
It's a husband and wife.
I do.
Sorry, we got it.
Not deliberately.
And Marcy, you worked with most recently at James and the. You directed James and the Giant Peach last year on 7th Street.
Yep, last summer. 7th Street helped us out again, and that was a great production.
Yeah, I had not actually. For some reason, we didn't get to see it, but the pictures were amazing.
Oh, thank you.
Loved them.
Thank you very
so
much.
So sorry to miss it. So we're looking forward to seeing Pinocchio.
Thank you very much.
And I think, let me just see here. I'm trying to see if there's anything I've missed.
Have we missed anything, Marcy, that you want to mention? Say hello to your mom.
I just think it's really great to get the kids there, you know, to have this opportunity.
Yeah. I love kids. I'm so excited to dance with them.
Yeah. And are you direct? Now, you said you had just done a workshop. You had been working with some of the kids. Is this connected to any particular school district?
No. I mean, there's a neighborhood center right next door to the church, and some of the neighborhood kids come over, and they've been helping with the set, and it's been great.
Thank you for being here today, and we're going to come to see you. This is George Miller and Kate Scuffle for Lehigh Valley Art Salon.
Next up on Lehigh Valley Art Salon, At the Movies, a review of a current film with Paul Willistein of the Press.
The Wolverine gets deep into the psyche of Logan, a.k.a. the Wolverine, the Marvel Comics superhero. That's because of an intense performance by Hugh Jackman reprising his role as the title character and thoughtful and compelling direction by James Mangold. The Wolverine extends the X-Men movie franchise, which began with the X-Men in 2000 and continues with filming underway for X-Men Days of Future Past, set for release next year. In The Wolverine, the second movie to focus on Logan and the sixth in the X-Men movie franchise, a man rescued by the Wolverine during World War II atomic bombing of Nagasaki, Japan, is on his deathbed and wants to say farewell. The Wolverine finds himself in the midst of a family feud to determine a successor to Yoshida, played by Hal Yamanuchi, the man the Wolverine had saved during World War II and who is now elderly and near death. Faster than you can say sibling rivalry, the Wolverine is drawn into the fray. One of the movie's many intriguing characters is Viper, played by Svetlana Kodashenkova, who implants a device in the Wolverine that strips him of his superpowers, especially that of wound healing. The Wolverine is well-paced, with a plotline that is mysterious, with five huge martial arts fight sequences and fascinating scenes depicting Japan locales. Hugh Jackman, as Logan, a.k.a. Wolverine, makes the character believable. After all, three shiny steel spikes jutting from one's knuckles is preposterous, superhero or not. Director James Mangold, who directed 310 to Yuma, Walk the Line, Girl Interrupted, and Copland, is a master of most any genre. With The Wolverine, Mangold has made a comic book superhero movie with its feet firmly planted in Asian martial arts movies. The screenplay by Mark Bomback of Total Recall, Unstoppable and Live Free or Die Hard, and Scott Frank of Marley and Me, Minority Report, and Get Shorty has a good mix of character development, plot, and is heavy on the action. The action is more one-on-one rather than involving huge explosions as in most superhero genre movies. For this review, The Wolverine was seen in 3D. My son Elias, who saw the film with me, likes the X-Men series, but did not think there was anything up there on the screen to justify the 3D format. I agree. Also, with quite a bit of the Japanese dialogue in English subtitles, there's no reason whatsoever to see subtitles in 3D. That said, The Wolverine is one of the better comic book to screen adaptations and should please X-Men fans. The Wolverine is MPAA rated PG-13 for sequences of intense sci-fi action and violence and some sexuality and language. Opening August 16 are Kick-Ass 2. The costumed high school hero is back in the action comedy that stars Chloe Grace Moretz, Aaron Taylor Johnson, and Jim Carrey. Paranoia. A new employee finds himself involved in corporate intrigue in the drama starring Harrison Ford, Gary Oldman, Liam Hemsworth, and Amber Heard. Lee Daniels, the butler. Forrest Whitaker and John Cusack star in the biopic drama directed by Lee Daniels about an African-American butler in the White House. Jobs. Ashton Kutcher stars in the biopic drama as Steve Jobs, the Apple entrepreneur revered by many. Prince Avalanche. Paul Rudd and Emile Hirsch star in the comedy drama about a summer of misadventures. Ain't Them Bodies Saints. Rooney Mara, Ben Foster, and Casey Affleck star in the drama about a prison escapee in Texas. I'm Paul Willistein of the Lehigh Valley Press at the movies for WDIY.